I have our first ever guest on Own Your Health. Today, I have got my absolute best friend in all the world, Trevor Goodlad, who is half of Dog Daddies.
Hello, hello, hello.
But let's talk now, okay, specifically about this whole connection between dog behaviour and human behaviour, because I think there's quite a lot in common.
We'll try and find out what the dog's actually good at or interested in, and then we'll start to build on that relationship with that dog and start to develop its pathway.
One of the first things that I've observed about humans is that we get into bad habits. Do you want to talk to me, first of all, about why do dogs get into bad habits and what do you do to fix it? Hello, my name's Katie Brindle and welcome to Own Your Health. Hi, and welcome to Own Your Health with me, Katie Brindle. And it's a very exciting episode today because I have our first ever guest on Own Your Health. As I said to you in one of the earlier episodes, this is not just a monologue with me discussing Chinese medicine nonstop, although it is a bit. But today I have got my absolute best friend in all the world and esteemed colleague, Trevor Goodlad, who is half of Dog Daddies.
Hello, hello, hello.
So basically, why have I brought a dog behaviourist into my show? Well, the answer is, apart from the fact I love Trevor and I wanted him to be the iconic first ever guest, and anyway, he'd never let me, I'd never get away with it if I didn't. But actually, in Taoism, one of the things that the masters say is that if you want to understand humans, you should observe animals. And this is very interesting because Trevor has been working with dogs for many years. I'll ask you in a second exactly how long. But the concept of today's conversation is actually to talk about all of the things that he understands about dog behavior and how we can relate that to how we need to look after ourselves as human beings. So, Trevor, this is now your cue. So, first question, Trevor. So how long, I mean, I've known you now for many years and you've been absolutely entrenched with dogs from the minute I met you. But when did it all start? How did you transition yourself into being this absolute expert and brand leader in your field?
I guess it started 20 years ago. Mm. 20 years ago, I came back from India. I'd been traveling and I'd seen a lot of dogs being damaged and knocked over, traumatized. And it obviously makes you think about things, think about yourself. You start to relate a little bit about life. Mm. And I was in India to try and find myself. So I came back to London and then I was thinking about what to do, what am I going to do with my job, my career had changed. Mm. I then started going to Kensington Gardens and seeing lots of dogs there. Mm. And I also had a neighbour who got a nice dog. She said to me, could you walk my dog? I wasn't working. Mm. I said, of course I can take your dog. Sort of taking her dog to Kensington Gardens every day.
Yeah.
Someone asked me if I was a dog walker. Mm. And I said, yes, of course I am. Mm. So I started dog walking really to start with. Mm. And then that it just started doing dog walking Monday to Friday. Before I realised it, I got 10 dogs.
Yeah, and the rest literally is history.
Yeah, history.
And here we are. So if anyone's interested, Trevor runs a brilliant company called Dog Daddies, which is absolutely gorgeous. It's just, if you want to have a dog fix each day, just go to Dog Daddies and you'll see what they do. But let's talk now, okay, specifically about this whole connection between dog behaviour and human behaviour, because I think there's quite a lot in common. So one of the first things that I've observed about humans is that we get into bad habits. Okay, when we're talking about owning our health, we don't have bad habits. We don't have good habits necessarily. And often we find that the things that we want to treat ourselves with are bad for us. You know, she says with a coffee in front of her, or, you know, people smoke, or people have wine, or people eat the wrong foods, you know, and we know we're doing it, but we do it nonetheless. So do you want to talk to me, first of all, about why do dogs get into bad habits and what do you do to fix it?
Well, sometimes they get into bad habits because they've been traumatized.
Right.
They've had a bad experience.
Like humans.
Yeah, like humans do. So they could have been hit by a human before, or they could have been knocked down, or they could have been abandoned. Yeah. Very similar to what we go through sometimes in life, if you're not, you know, because not everyone's that lucky. So they've had some dogs have had really bad experiences, and then that transitions into their everyday life. So if you come across a dog that's had a bad trauma, you try and then, if you can, discover the reason why it's had that trauma and then get to the bottom of it and then try and get it to come away from the trauma.
So
we don't focus on the situation that's happened to the dog. Mm. We try and show the dog something new and exciting to do.
Right. So this is already super interesting because you see what you've just said there is that you get to the root of the problem. Mm. Now, when we're dealing with our health, we don't. We tend to superficially want to fix the problem. So we tend to sort of want to do something quick that will mask the problem so that we can get on with life, which is often where bad habits come in, because it may be that most humans in my experience have been traumatized because life is fairly traumatic. We're in Earth school. It's quite hard. So often if we're masking our symptoms with a cup of tea or a glass of wine or a cigarette or, I don't know, a bad relationship that's toxic, it's because it's familiar and because we kind of know what we're doing. But it's quite hard for us as humans to necessarily go to the root of the problem. But you're saying with a dog, what you're going to do is, first of all, understand why, right? So then once you've understood why, and you've kind of attached something to it, like it's been traumatized or run over or abandoned or whatever, that then you will start to give it a new pathway of behavior, a new habit.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we discover what happened to that dog if we can. If we can't, generally, we try not to focus on it then if we can't discover what it was. So we don't focus on that issue. We'll try and find out what the dog's actually good at or interested in. And then we'll start to build on that relationship with that dog and start to develop its pathway, its mindset into a different avenue. So we're not focusing on that issue then and there. We're moving it forward into something that they can do.
Which is exactly what we do with the kind of health habits that I talk about, which is using a gong app, for example, which I talk about every episode, to give yourself 1 minute of healthy breathing each hour, to try and have a meditation space in the afternoon so that you can give yourself a nap, or that you can use gua sha or body tapping before you go to bed at night. These are all positive reinforcements to the body. Now, with dogs, you say that you do the same thing. You're going to give it a new shiny thing, which is like a positive reinforcement to a new way of doing things. How do you do that?
Well, you try and offer that dog several different things. It could be a toy. It could be a treat. It could be its food. It could be agility. It could be running. You just show
attention.
It's about getting, you know, showing the dog all those things. And then the one that it's really interested in, you start to build on that one issue. And once you've found one little connection, it then opens up.
And what is it sort of breed specific what it is? I mean, we've got Labradors, so they're just like food. But
different,
what is it?
Yeah, different breeds are good at different things.
Right.
And so it's just the way it is. Because when they actually bred dogs initially, they bred them to work. They were all working dogs, weren't they? You've got like gun dogs that do retrieving. You've got small dogs that go down little lulls for badgers. They're all bred to do a different thing.
Yeah.
Unless it was a toy dog. Even small miniature dogs were bred to kill rats, to vermin. That's what they were for.
Yeah.
They weren't just lap dogs and dogs that he kept. The aristocracy kept deer hounds and lurchers and greyhounds because they went hunting. Mm. And that's what they did. There was a purpose. Mm. It was only later that they found out they made really good pets. And they then, you know, we had a better relationship with the dog. Mm.
Different species of dogs relate to different
things,
ways.
Yeah.
And humans, I would say, would be the same. So some humans would respond well for having something perhaps which is food or drink related as their treat. And other ones would be because they're skin sensitive or they like to be pampered or they like to be scratched. I mean, like, you know, we have different things that we like to do. So for you, it's a breed specific thing / the individual dog as well.
Yeah. I mean, overall, dogs are all the same. They're all dogs, aren't they? And I think they have all born a dog. Mm. And like a human, it depends what's happened to them along the way or what we've bred them to be, as in when we've been selecting them to do certain things. But I think back to the trauma side and stuff of things, that's only happened once they've become a dog and they're born.
Yeah.
So
they're in Earth school.
Yeah, they're in Earth school.
So we've got the good habit, which is what we're trying to say with humans as well, which is basically we're trying to go away from the trauma and the negative reinforcement of that with negative patterns of behaviour into a new form of behaviour, which is then positively reinforced.
Yeah, so we try not to focus on what's actually gone too wrong.
Yeah.
We try and find out what they're good at and try and work on that.
And then what do we do?
And then we start to use the reward base, treat reward, food reward. And then we start to build on the dog's character and its behaviour. And then the actual trauma side gets less and less and less.
Mm.
And now they've developed into the new behaviour, enjoying what they do, they then come out of it.
So this is exactly what I'm suggesting we do as humans. Okay, so that what we do is we create the new pattern of behaviour, whether it's body brushing or tapping or a minute of mindful breathing each hour to a nice soothing gong, to create a new pathway of positive reinforcement to your body to to sort of offset the trauma so that you're not no longer focusing on this negative, but you're focusing on the positive. So I'm suggesting that you try and do that minutes at a time throughout the course of the day. And how, in terms of dogs, would you be, if you had a dog for, say, a week and it had a bad habit and, you know, the owner has handed over the dog, how often would you be positively reinforcing and applying the training? Because you don't want it too much, do you? So what's the sort of the sweet spot?
No, it just becomes a routine, really, first of all. You've got to get the dog into a routine. Every dog has to have a routine. It has to wake up.
Like humans.
Yeah, it has to go outside to do its business, has to come back in, have something to eat, has to have a drink. They love routine. Mm. And if they're in a routine, their mind seems to be more stable. Mm. They're more settled.
Same for us.
Yeah.
And one of the main problems with humans in this day and age is that we really don't have much of a routine. Obviously, Trevor and I are very good friends as well. So we've talked diet and lifestyle for years. And I'm constantly talking to you about how important it is to just get into regularity if you want to lose weight or if you want to be healthy or if you just want to sleep better, that just allowing a daily routine to the human body is absolutely vital. And we don't, because our lifestyles now tend to demand us to be here, there and everywhere. And every day is different unless you're paying really close attention. And I think dogs really connect us back to that, because they really do. You can set your watch by a dog's stomach, can't you?
You can. Body clock.
Yeah, they know it. Everything.
They do. They know the timing. They know when you're going to wake up, when you're coming in. People think they've got a sixth sense. They haven't. It's their body clock.
Yeah.
Their body clock kicks in and they know what's coming next.
It's amazing.
Routine.
So that gets them calm, which is the same as us.
Yeah.
Which is they need to have a nice routine where they know what they're doing at the same time in the same place every day. And the more they do that, the better. Human beings actually are the same. So if you're finding that your life is not routine based, what we've got to do is start to create mini opportunities to have routines within the non-routine. So you've got to have a sort of routine within the non-routine. You've got to be mindful of the fact that your body, like the dog, would actually be calmer and happier if it just knew what it was doing at the same time in the same place every single day. So having created that for them and given them that boundary and that regularity, what happens next?
Well, you start to see a difference in the behaviour.
Already,
they just start to relax. They can actually sleep better. They're just much calmer.
Yeah.
A lot calmer.
And then, so you've got a clicker on your wrist. So, because I asked you to bring your clicker in. So then what you're doing at this point, the dog is now calm, which is 50% of the problem. Same with humans. If you can calm the body systems down and that the nervous system's just not jangled because it doesn't know what's coming next, so it's in a state of fight or flight all day long, you are already going to offset a myriad of health issues just by that alone. That's why I bang on and on and on about the mindfulness bell on the hour, every hour, because if your life is going bonkers the rest of the time, it's an opportunity wherever you are to go back into yourself and breathe calmly. But with that state, then what you're going to do is start getting into the nitty gritty. So let's say the dog is responsive to strokes, because I like talking about self-care. So self-care involves lots of caressing of the body and just general affection.
But it's calming, isn't it?
It's calming.
It's very calming.
So let's say the dog that you're training is responsive to affection and that's its thing. What would you do? So you've got him into a calm state. What happens next?
So if you get the dog into a calm state, you mean what you want to...
So you want to train them. You want to give them positive reinforcements.
Okay, yeah. So what you do, I mean, once you've got the dog into a calm state and it's in a happy space, you then start showing it new tricks or new behaviours that you want it to do.
Right.
So this is called dog shaping.
Right.
So you start to shape the behaviour. So, and it's also dog... You can capture behaviour. So if you like a certain behaviour that a dog's doing, you can register it, notify it, say yes... Or do a click, and once it acknowledges a click and it followed through with a reward, that could be a caress, a stroke, or a treat, that dog will repeat that behaviour. You then start creating new behaviours.
So the click, why does the click work? So is it a, why is the
It's quite
sound?
Deep. It's Pavlov's dog. It's a precursor. It's a marker for when you've done something. So you just had that drink, and when you, now you've got the reward, you're more than likely to repeat that behaviour.
Because I've heard a noise.
Yeah, you've heard the click and it's associated with a reward.
Right. Now that, again, back here, I wish I'd actually created the mindfulness bell myself. By the way, there are other ones. I just like that one the best. So anyway, but that's why, never mind the app, that's why I go on and on and on about having a gong every hour.
Yeah.
Because it's like the human clicker. Because what you're doing is you will hear the sound and you identify the sound with a moment of relaxation, which is pleasurable. So it's pleasure.
Yeah.
So the dog is responding to the fact that a noise equals pleasure in its brain.
That's right.
And it then, from what I understand, is it then overrides anything negative.
It does, because you start to build up, you build on that emotion, right, on that feeling, and then that dog starts to perform more of those behaviours and starts to feel better because it's been rewarded. Mm. So the actual trauma starts to lessen.
Yeah.
And it gets less and less and less. You start building a new pathway,
yeah,
a new pathway in your brain.
Yeah.
Dogs have the same thing, a new pathway in their brain, and the actual trauma gets smaller and smaller.
And that's exactly the same thing that I'm talking about with humans. That if you start to hook yourself into a new pattern of behaviour, which is purely beneficial, which is sound related, because everything is light and sound at the end of the day, that it's going to reprogram the mind in a really positive way, which is every time I hear this sound, something nice happens to me. And then what you do is you can then start to expand that. Because the next thing I wanted to ask you about, which was something that you taught me many years ago when we were walking the dogs, which is you must always train the dog when it's in a relaxed state, so that when you then go into a stress state, and it's very likely to go back to its old pattern of behavior, because which is what we do. So let's say we've got ourselves with our gong and we're happy and we're calm and we're doing some good stuff. And then out we go and something awful happens at work and you're just really stressed. The chances are, at that moment, you're going to be triggered back into that, oh, sod it, I'm just going to go and have a cigarette. Or, oh,
like,
sod
like
it.
Like a relapse.
Yeah. Except you just relapse into it. So with dogs, the same thing happens, right?
Yeah, they can relapse.
What do you do? How do you get through the stress situation when it's about to peter back into its old pattern? Because that's what I want to know with humans too.
Well, that's a massive question.
I know.
It's really big. It's really difficult one, really.
Yeah.
Again, I think if it was me, I'd have to go back to basics. I'd have to start from the beginning again.
Right.
You'd have to go right back down on the dog's level.
Yep.
And look at the situation again.
And build
it back up again. Yeah.
Which is the same as humans. You see, because we're in Earth School. Okay. And Earth School's hard. It's arguably cruel, to be honest. You know, we're talking a lot about if dogs have been traumatized, often they've been abused.
Yeah.
And abuse doesn't necessarily mean they've ended up in, say, Battersea Dog Home, where you used to be one of the trainers. But this could be just by accident, it's been left at home for too long and you didn't leave the lights on and you were out for longer than you expected and the dogs got traumatized because it's been home for longer than 4 hours and there was no lights on, or you'd forgotten to leave water out. So it could be something quite... It could be just a low-level negligence that was just an unfortunate scenario. Same thing with humans, that what then happens if you create good habits, okay, and then people will say, oh, well, I then self-sabotage. And then they feel bad again. And then they think, oh, there's no point. I might as well just go and have a cigarette again because I'm that person, or I'm going to have my wine or my tea or my coffee, whatever. That you have to then go into a state of what you've just said with the dog. You've just got to take a deep breath and go, it's all right. We'll just go back to basics again. We'll go back to the clicker.
Yeah.
We'll go back to the positive reward. We'll just relax.
Yeah.
And we'll just start again.
We'll just start again.
We'll build it back up.
Yeah. The thing is as well, if a dog starts showing any bad behaviour, we don't focus on that at all.
No.
If it starts playing up or doing something bad again, or it's generally attention behaviour. That's what they do. They do it for attention.
Mm.
So we don't focus on that. And what we would do, we'd offer it an alternative. Don't focus on the negative. Focus on the positive and show them something positive.
Mm.
And a dog will just switch over.
It's all about positive affirmation constantly. And I think that's really the message of today's podcast, which is very much about dogs need positivity. Dogs need love.
But we all do, don't we?
Well, exactly. Yeah. Dogs need regularity and dogs need to be in a calm environment where they know where they feel safe.
Yeah.
And humans are the same. The difference is that in modern life, humans have forgotten that they're just as connected to the earth as dogs are. I mean, in Chinese medicine, the dog is very much an earth creature. It's very connected to earth cycles. When we go for walks together, you can see the joy in a dog of going for a walk. I mean, they absolutely just they love it because they're connected to the earth and they go and it's an adventure and it's exciting and it brings great joy into their lives. And that's something that we need to learn from this, is that we have been separated from earth over the last kind of mainly since the Industrial Revolution. And we've all got used to living kind of slightly separated lives. Often we're living in flats. Often we're not even on the ground. You know, like my flat in London is I've got to go up some stairs to get there. So like even when I'm in the flat, my feet aren't on the ground. I'm not grounded. And you can sometimes lose your relationship to the fact that we are earthborn creatures and we are connected to earth cycles and we need to engage with what being on earth is all about. And earth brings nature, getting out into nature on a daily basis, and dogs need a walk every day and really should have one. Dogs need regularity. Humans need to be connected to nature. We need regularity. We need to be loved and reassured and positively affirmed on a regular basis to feel confident about ourselves and to feel validated to be here in Earth at all and to be part of the sort of the global community of people. And it's important not to lose connection to that. Well, Trevor, thank you so much for joining today. It's been really, really interesting to just talk and understand more about why our lovely four-legged friends are not just probably the epicenter of any family home that they tend to be in, certainly ours are, but also something that we can take great learning from to understand more about ourselves. So it's been really interesting to talk to you, Trevor. Thank you so much.
You're
so grateful. If anyone would like more from Trevor, because he is so amazing and so engaging, he has got two website addresses, which we'll put in the comments below. And if you want a daily dog infusion, I really urge you to have a look at those social media sites, because they're really gorgeous. And there's a lot of Trevor there as well. So thank you so much for joining today. Do please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. You can also send me your comments on Instagram, YouTube and TikTok. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.
Own Your Health is a Viral Tribe production.